The reason we have come
is because
God, in many different ways, has called each one of us into his ministry. We all have different stories. We all have different backgrounds that he took us from. And yet, somehow he has merged all of our lives together into this moment. He's brought us together as Sozo. And let me say this. It's the privilege of my life to be the leader of Sozo. I've really done a lot of praying this week. Because I know the call God has put on my life and on this ministry. And if I can just begin this conference by being completely honest with you, sometimes I feel like I'm failing. Sometimes I feel like I'm not doing good enough at fulfilling the vision God has put on my life. And I've been praying a lot that God, this is where we are as Sozo. And yet the vision that you've given, it seems like we're still so far away. And I'm not discounting all of God's faithfulness, what he's done in the past. Like, I've been thinking about all of the testimonies of the little ways God has proven himself faithful to us. Like, I remember when Apostle John called me in Kenya. And we just sat in a garden and he shared the vision God had given him. And he said, I think I'm supposed to bring myself into Sozo so we work together to build this vision. And I remember telling him, okay, let's see what God does. From starting in that small room to the building they're currently in, to right now fundraising for a piece of land so we build a permanent structure in Kenya. Not just a structure for his church, but a structure that will be the base of Sozo in that country. And I look at those small things where God has brought us from, and I celebrate. But then I look where we still need to go. And just as I've been praying about all of this, I've really been to the point of asking God, am I still the man? Am I still the one to lead this vision? And praying for more grace.
And I just want you to know that I'm still committed to the vision God has given us as Sozo. But when I talk about coming in into a season of realignment, what the Lord has showed me is in some ways we've moved just a little off course from the vision. And it's in different ways for each one of us. I'm not saying we're supposed to go that way, but now we're all going this way. Generally, we're all still moving the same direction, but we're just taking some side journeys. And the Lord has really shown me that His desire is for us to get back on the straight path. To refocus on the vision that He's given us. So that we can accomplish the destiny He's called us to. And in one sense, that's the path of Sozo. But in another sense, it's also your individual callings. This week, I want us to evaluate our own calling and vision from the Lord. To know that as pastors and leaders, we've not diverted from that vision. As some of you know, I'm currently doing a master's in theology. And this week I had to write a paper on the book of Joshua and Judges. And in talking about the book of Judges, that there are some scholars who say that every story of every new judge is a circle. The nation would enter into sin. And because of their sin, God would take them into subjection to another nation. The Philistines, the Amorites, they would come and defeat God's people. And then once they were in subjection, then the circle would go and they would begin to pray and cry out to God. Why have you left us? Deliver us again. And it would lead to God raising up a deliverer. One of the judges who would lead them into salvation. But then as time would go, they would come back into sin. Back into subjection. Back into repentance. Until God brought another deliverer. As you read the book of Judges, that cycle continues every time. But it wasn't God who was leaving the people. It was the people who were walking away from the plan God had given them for their life. From the days of Joshua, God gave them the land. And told them to chase out the other nations. But they already began to compromise. And it led them farther and farther into sin and into this cycle. And I've seen that cycle in the lives of so many Christians. So many leaders. That somewhere along the way there's a compromise. And it leads into sin. And then God begins to just let go a little bit. Until we find ourselves in subjection to the wrong leadership, the wrong direction for our life. So we run back to God and we pray and we repent. And He restores us. But the truth is, too many Christians are living in that same cycle. But can I tell you the scary part of the book of Judges? It's not just that the story goes in a circle, but the story actually goes in a spiral down. Throughout the book of Judges, every time the sin goes a little bit deeper. That it becomes harder even for the judges to deliver the nation. At the middle point of the book, you have Gideon. And Gideon starts with a righteous leadership. But he's already a coward. When he tears down the altar, he does it at night. And by the end of his ministry, Gideon is living in sin. And from that point in the book of Judges, every judge is living in sin. The judges almost mirror each other, good and bad. The first judge was Othniel. And if you read his story, he was established because he had a faithful Jewish wife. And because he's a relative of Joshua, he's following the law. And he's able to deliver Israel. You look at the last judge, Samson. Othniel had a faithful Jewish wife. Samson is destroyed for chasing the women of other nations. And even his deliverance of Israel, it comes at the cost of his own life. It almost reads like an accident that they chained him in the right place for him to push the walls. My point is this. The longer we allow this cycle of sin in our own lives, in our own churches, in our own communities, we have a misunderstanding. If we think, no, it's okay, we'll just repent and God will save us again. Yes, He will save us again. But every time we compromise again and again, we're going down the same spiral. When Joshua completed his work, he charged Israel and he said, "Choose this day whom you will serve." As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all of Israel said, "Yes, we are with you. We will serve the Lord." But verse 31 of the last book of Joshua makes it clear that that commitment only lasted until the death of that generation of elders. Every generation that came after was going down, down, down. Right now, we're the first generation of Sozo. And I want us to stop compromising. Stop playing games. Stop doing our own things. And to commit ourselves to the vision God has given us. Which brings us to our theme from this year. Grow up. I told my wife in January when we released this theme, that I believe this is a hopeful charge from the Lord. God is telling us as a ministry that He wants to raise us to maturity. But in my culture, where I come from, this statement can also be used as a negative, like making fun of somebody. When you see somebody who's doing something very immature, when you see somebody doing something they're not supposed to be doing, you just look at them shaking your head. And you say, "Would you grow up? Grow up." And my fear coming into this year was that this would feel like a negative theme. I did not want this theme to come across like I'm angry at everyone and I'm just saying, "Would you grow up?" Because this came as a word from the Lord. But, as I've been praying for the last couple of weeks, I feel like the Lord is saying there are some things that as a ministry and as the leaders, He's looking at us and saying, would you grow up? It's time to act like the mature leaders that we are. When I sent out the letter at the beginning of the year with the theme, I said, unfortunately, within Sozo Ministries and across East Africa, too many churches, ministries, and ministry leaders have grown more concerned with growing out than growing up. Can I just tell you, as an American, there's something very uncomfortable about your culture. When I go home to America and they feed me all of that Mexican food, and I come back to Africa, all of you people, oh, Scott, welcome back. You're so fat. You've gotten so fat. And I'm like, don't look at me. For an American, that is not a compliment. For in the American culture, if you tell somebody you're so fat, it's very rude. But in the culture here, it's a good thing. It means the Lord has blessed you. You're eating food. You have all of the provision that you need. And so for you, it's a compliment to say, oh, you're so fat. That I'm learning to say, yes, thank you, praise God. But listen, have you ever seen a small child, like 3 years old or 4 years old, who's very fat? Like a small child. But you look at their clothes and they're just... You look at that child and they look funny. I'm telling you something. In East Africa, there is a time to get fat. But it's not when you're a little child. It's when you grow up, you get married, and your wife takes good care of you, then you get fat. This is because of her. This is her fault. When you saw me as a young man, I looked like Victor. I can't even pretend. There is a process where we're supposed to grow up and become mature and established in life before we start growing fat and enjoying the fruit of our life. If you see a child who is fat, it's not because that child deserves it. That child is enjoying the blessing of the parents. That child is fat not because of anything they did, but because the parents are giving them all those good things. Or maybe they're sick. But in ministry, we have leaders and churches who want the church to grow fat before we want the church to grow up. I'm talking about things like discipleship. But see, too many churches want to bypass discipleship. We don't care if our people know the Lord and are growing to be like Christ. We just want them in the room. And we want them to bring friends. And we want them to pay tithes. I'm telling you the truth, okay? If I ask some of you, would you rather have a church with 20 people who are strong, godly disciples who are walking in maturity? Or would you rather have a church with 5,000 people and all of them are saved, but they're not really living like it? Some of you would say, I want the church of 5,000. I want the church that's fat. I don't care about the church growing up. And it's a wrong place for us to be as a ministry. I have stood in this very room in 2018 at the very first Sozo Pastors Conference. And some of you were very excited. You said, yes, we're Sozo now. We're going to do big things for the Lord. And one of the pastors who was in that room, he's not here today. He said, in the next 1 year, we're going to open 100 churches. I said, okay. Do we have 100 mature leaders who can pastor those churches? He said, no. I said, how many do we have? Maybe 10. I said, hallelujah. Then this year we're opening 10 churches. I've been very clear from the beginning. I don't care if Sozo ever gets bigger than this right here. I don't care if Sozo gets fat. As long as Sozo grows up. As long as Sozo knows how to be who we are in Christ. It's one of our core values. Being identity driven. That we know who we are in Christ. And that is what drives us forward. You're going to hear Pastor Isaiah share on that this week. But listen, some of us, we don't care who's driving the car as long as it takes us to big places. I've heard some of you whisper or tell Juliana or tell John, you know this Mzungu. He just doesn't know how we do things in Africa. We have a way we do things here. He's trying to make us an American. He's trying to make us America. But this is our culture. I have never tried to make you like America. But if we know who we are in Christ, We can't say this is just our culture.
This is
how we do things here. No, the old has passed away. And the new has come. Who in this room... I won't even go there. I'll save it for tomorrow. The point is this. You no longer belong to the culture of this world. You've been transferred into God's kingdom. You have God's DNA. And so your life should be looking like Christ. That's what our theme verse says. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, it says, rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head. Into Christ. This is the charge that's being put on our life. Is there anything remaining inside of you that doesn't look like Jesus? Is there any way you lead in your home? Any way you run your business? Any way you engage in your community? That does not look like how Jesus would do it, then you're still a child. And it's time to grow up. We are to grow up until every aspect of our life looks like Christ. That's why if you drop down to chapter number 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children. When people look at you, they should see Jesus. When they see how you live your life, they should see how Jesus lived his life. There's no room for compromise. There's no room for excuses. Oh, but you know, in my village, we do it like this. Oh, but you know, I want to do that, but I don't have the resources. No, God doesn't care about our excuses. He cares about how much we want to imitate Him. It says, imitate Him as beloved children. There's a story that happened many years ago. And some of you have probably heard me share this story. But when I was still living in Texas, I went to my pastor's house on a Saturday. And he was slashing his grass. But in the U.S., they have those machines that has the blades that spin and you push the machine. His wife told me, yeah, he's in the backyard. Just go out in the yard. I walk out there. My pastor is pushing the machine. He's wearing shorts. He's not wearing a shirt. And he has a cap. And he's pushing the machine, cutting the grass. A few feet behind him was his 4-year-old son pushing a toy, wearing shorts, no shirt, and a cap, pushing the toy, doing what he sees his father doing. He's imitating his father. Now, the father was accomplishing something and the child was just pretending. But to that young boy, it didn't matter. He's helping daddy slash the grass. This is how it's telling us to be imitators of God. Yes, God is the one who's going to accomplish everything. When we stand up next to God, it's like we're just pushing a toy. Listen, this is important. He doesn't care what you accomplish by your works. He cares that you look like him while you're doing the works. See, some of you have been told that the only way you're going to build a successful church in East Africa is to do these funny things. To manipulate people for money. Huh? And send the oil. Go and give them a prophecy, then demand your gift. Listen, those things will build a fat ministry. But it's not a mature ministry. And it's not a ministry that God will honor. God does not care how fat your ministry grows if your ministry does not have maturity. That's why I'm saying he doesn't care the fruit of the work. He cares for the character in doing the work. And so I'm telling you tonight, as the apostolic overseer of Sozo Ministries, I have been praying and I've made an agreement with God. I'm pursuing maturity. And I'm pursuing it without compromise. I want to get into alignment with what God has called me to be as a Christian. What he wants me to be as a leader, and what he wants Sozo to be as a ministry. I'm coming into alignment with him, and I'm not compromising. And my prayer is that all of you will come with me on this journey. My prayer is that by the end of the week, you'll be making that commitment too. But the Lord has already shown me that probably some of you won't come with us. It's up to you to decide. And so this week, we're going to do our best to relay the foundation that God has given us, Sozo. Gracias. we're going to seek to get in alignment with him. And as the first generation of elders in Sozo Ministries, we're going to grow up. Some of us, it's a happy grow up. We're growing up and looking like daddy. And some of us, it won't be happy. It's going to be, would you stop doing that and grow up? Maybe we need both of those things from the Lord. Maybe we need both of those from the Lord. But I'm telling you, I'm excited about where we're going. And so this week, tomorrow, in the afternoon, I'm going to share on recapturing the vision for Sozo. And then for the rest of the week until Friday, I'm not preaching again. Tomorrow I'm going to recast the vision. And then we're going to hear from some of you what it means to fulfill God's vision for Sozo. Pastor Ekapu is going to talk to us about being Bible loving. Pastor Fede is going to talk to us about being intimacy led. Pastor Isaiah will talk about intimacy driven. Pastor Peter is going to talk to us about being revival longing. Apostle John will talk to us about being empowerment focused. Why? Because that's the DNA God calls Sozo to live by. We've got to be past a day. We have to be past the day when we can say, I'm a Sozo pastor, but I don't read my Bible every day. I'm a Sozo pastor, but I'm not following the voice of Holy Spirit. I'm a Sozo pastor, but I'm focused on making myself famous. I don't have time to raise other leaders. It's part of growing up. You're also going to hear from Sarah and Liz. Apostle John will give us another session. And unfortunately, Pastor Okumu cannot be with us this week. He's traveling to Nigeria. But I have another friend of our ministry coming on Thursday, who's going to share with us what it means to be living by God's culture and not our own culture. So I'm expecting it's going to be a good week. So now we want to begin the week the way we always do. I say we begin the week with the wine, we end the week with the oil. the blood and the spirit. And so as Juliana pours that and prepares us for communion, I want to call us back to that cross. Because as much as we want to grow up, as much as we want to grow into Christ, if we don't start with the foundation of the blood, then everything else we're going to talk about this week is useless. When we were doing the intercession, I was really praying to the Lord. The same way I've been praying for weeks, that God will draw our hearts back to Him. The truth is, just as you would have in any ministry, we have times where we compromise. We tolerate sin. And we make excuses for ourselves. As if we have no other option. The Bible says there's a way that seems right in the heart of a man. But in the end, it leads to destruction. And so as we prepare ourselves to take the Lord's Supper tonight, I just want to call us back to the fact that there's a right way for everything. But it's not following your heart. We live in a world where people are encouraged, just follow your heart, just do what feels right. That's not the call for the Christian. The call for the Christian is take up your cross and follow me. We follow our Lord even when it's painful. Because it was painful for Him. We look at the cross and we see jewelry and we put it on the walls and decorate our homes. But the cross was not a thing of beauty. It was the instrument of death. The Bible says, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. And yet Jesus willingly took that curse for us. And so I want us to begin this week with an opportunity to look at the cross with this promise in mind. It doesn't matter what you've done up to now. Maybe you've done things well with only little minor sinful actions. Maybe you've been living in compromise for so long you don't even remember. I don't know. But the truth of the cross is this. The grace of God is always the same. The grace of God is always available. It's why whenever Jesus gave the Last Supper on that final night, He said, as often as you do this, do this remembering me. So we want to take the Lord's Supper tonight, fixing our eyes back on Jesus, because it's Him we're growing into. And so I'm going to give you just a couple of moments to pray and say whatever you need to say to Jesus. If you need to repent, if you need to give Him your heart, do it. If you just need to ask for strength for the next season, then do that. But I want us to come to this table remembering Jesus, the one we're supposed to look like. And so just take a moment to pray. When your head and your heart are clear before the Lord, then you can come and just break off a piece of the bread and take a cup and go back and sit down. The Bible says in Matthew 26 that as they were eating, Jesus took the bread, and after blessing it, He broke it and gave it to the disciples. And He said, "Take, eat, this is my body." The bread that you hold in your hand is not sacred. We baked it this morning. There's nothing special about this bread. And yet it's the picture of the breaking. That when we deserved to be punished for our sins, Jesus was broken in our place. So let's pray. Father, we thank You for the bread. We thank You for Your body that You willingly allowed to be nailed to a cross so that we didn't have to die. You took our punishment so that we could live, so that we could know You and be redeemed to the Father. Lord, thank You for allowing Your body to be broken for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take the bread. The Bible says, and He took a cup. And when He had given thanks, He gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you. For this is the blood of My covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. He says, I tell you, I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in My Father's kingdom. as Jesus celebrated the Passover, they looked back to the slaughtered, spotless lamb. Whose blood was smeared on the doorpost so that God's judgment would pass over them. But Jesus said this is something new. It's no longer the blood of the Lamb. This is my blood, which is poured out for you. The Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. So Jesus calls us to drink this cup, remembering that we can never make a way for ourselves. He's the only way in to the Father. And as we partake of His blood, we look forward to the day we'll drink with Him in eternity. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank You for Your blood. We thank You for that spear that pierced Your side. The thorns that pierced Your head. The nails that were put in Your hands and Your feet. That as Your lifeblood was poured out, our life could begin. Lord, we thank You for the blood. We thank You for the privilege of knowing You as Father and friend. And we ask that Your grace will keep us until the day we see You face to face. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You can take the cup. Pastors, my prayer for us is that as we seek to be aligned with Jesus, we never get any farther than this right here. Jesus is the focus. He is the foundation with His blood, and He's the one who will sustain us until the end. Let's grow up into Him. Amen. You can just hold the cups for a minute. Sarah, will you come close us in prayer? Since you're here.
Jesus, we love You.
Yesu, ugana.
Holy Spirit, we love You.
Moyo, ugana.
We thank You for this time.
Kusimare chisera chino.
We could just worship You forever, and it would never be enough.
Kuvala kutikuliku kuisaya, atenga kuza kuisaya chimalada.
We thank You for the opportunity to come together.
Webalere kabi Yesu kuere kweza aduera.
To learn from Your Word.
Kuiga mchito mchowo.
And to grow up and mature in You. God, thank You for this reminder of what You've done for us, Jesus.
Baba kusima, rachino chesu, unkukujukiza chesu wako kolera Yesu.
Let us cast off the sin that so easily entangles.
Bible irometi, mutusewo chibi chichangu wa mangu kubigata ko.
And let us fix our eyes on Jesus.
Era chikulome chiti zimonizefe kuyongerenga kusirira Yesu.
Holy Spirit, help us to fix our eyes on Jesus.
Moyo kusawa kuti kuyede zimonizefe zisirire Yesu.
And to be hungry and thirsty for you.
Kulinizala era kuliku kuigomba wewe.
We love you so much, Lord.
Kugana nabi mukama.
We love you so much.
Kugana nabi.
I ask your blessing upon everyone who is here.
Isabazika bizuozi be kuri muturi ano.
And we are expecting for you to do something big.
Ina kuri ano wakwa suvi de kutuza kore a chitu chip chiega man.
We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Binobi oskwa bisabi de muri sinoli Yesu. Amen.